In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Just as long as God is still on his throne and hears and answers prayer, and your faith and my faith is intact, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I'm reading from Sunday's readings, the reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Do you know that? That before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you a prophet to the nations. I appointed you. He's called to be a prophet. I wonder how many prophets we had over the weekend. Well, let me continue. "But do you gird your loins, stand up and tell them all I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against the priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I wonder how many prophets we had this weekend that began to speak about what's happened in Virginia, that they passed a law that the partial birth abortion till the last minute, the baby can be killed. I wonder how many people said, you know, in the time of Jesus, they offered their children to Moloch. We offer our children to the God of convenience. The last moment they can kill these children. How many prophets did we have this weekend who told the people about being prophetic? You see, if we're not prophetic, we're pathetic. It's so important that people hear, and not only from the last second in the womb, even if the child is not perfect as he's born, they can kill that child. This is murder. We're talking about murder. And no voice is heard to speak it as murder. And I'm not saying we should hate anybody, but this is murder. Our children are being murdered from the womb and even after they leave the womb. And who will be prophetic to announce that? They will fight against you, Father Tom, but not prevail over you. Why? "For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I tell you, Massachusetts now is going to have this law that they could kill the child to the last moment, to the last moment, and even after the child is born. I'm telling you, we are in deep trouble with God. We are in deep trouble with God. We are doing what they did to the God called Moloch. They sacrificed their children to Moloch in the time of the Old Testament and even in the time of Jesus. But I tell you, we sacrifice our children to the God of convenience. It's a sick, sick thing. These babies are already able to live outside the womb. You know what a partial birth abortion does? While the child's head is still in the womb, they cut the neck so that they'll bleed out and they kill the child. Then they deliver the child dead. My God, have mercy on us. My God, have mercy on us. My God, have mercy on us. We read yesterday from 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude, it does not seek its own interests, it is not quick-tempered, It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Paul was not only thinking about love when he said these words and wrote these words down, but instead of love, we're going to put Jesus. Jesus is patient, patient with you and me. Jesus is kind, always kind. Jesus is not jealous. No, he's not jealous. He loves you. Jesus is not pompous. He is not inflated. Jesus is not rude. Jesus does not seek its own interests. Jesus is not quick-tempered. Jesus does not brood over injury. Jesus does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. Now that's another way of looking at it. It's all about Jesus. But you know what? If you put your name in it, I'll put my name. Tom is patient, not all the time. Tom is kind. Well, I try to be. Tom is not jealous. Tom is not pompous. I'm not pompous. Tom is not inflated. Tom is not rude. Tom does not seek his own interests. Tom is not quick-tempered. Well, that's not true. Tom does not brood over injury. Tom does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Tom bears all things. That's not true. Believes all things. Yes. Hopes all things. Yes. Endures all things. Tom's love will never fail. Well, you know, I'm imperfect on all of them. Imperfect on all of them. Even my kindness is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, we shall know God as we are fully known by the Lord God. Do you know that today? When the perfect comes, when's the perfect coming? When Jesus comes in glory as the judge of the living and of the dead. And you know what? He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming, and he's coming for a church who is prophetic, a church that is filled with love, a church that has no boundaries in accepting people and forgiving people. Why did people not talk about partial birth abortion last weekend? They want to be liked, I guess. They want to be liked. We need to be prophetic. We need to speak against these things. Not that the whole sermon wasn't against these things during the weekend, but I made known that this is murder. This is murder. This is murder. A full-term baby can be killed. This is murder. He can live outside the womb. This is murder. And you know what? It's a Holocaust. It's a Holocaust. It's a Holocaust. And just like the Holocaust, not many people are speaking out. Luke 4:21, Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." What was the scripture passage? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, and to proclaim a year of Jubilee. Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of Jesus and asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph? Did he not hang our cabinets? Did he not make a door for us?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place, Galilee, Nazareth, the things that we heard you do in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed up for 3.5 years, no rain, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. She was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. When the people in the synagogue heard this about the Gentiles, they were all filled with fury. In other words, Jesus is going to speak his word. He's going to come unto his own. His own not going to receive him, but the Gentiles will receive him. They wanted to throw him over the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. I tell you, Jesus was not only filled with love, but he was prophetic. He was prophetic. He was the prophet's prophet. We need prophets in this world to speak the word of God in love. In love. I'm not saying to speak it in hate. To speak the word of God in love. Last week we heard children will be killed from the womb and even after the womb. It's murder. And how many prophets do we have that will speak against these things? I tell you, I am one by the grace of the living God. And you know what? The scripture says they shall try to hurt you, but they shall not prevail against you. I'm reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. The scripture says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year while I was in Susa, the capital, one of my brothers, Hanai, came with certain men from Judah and from Jerusalem, and I asked them about the Jews that survived those who had escaped captivity, the Jews that were not held captive in Babylon, and about Jerusalem. They replied, the survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Oh yes, the wall of Jerusalem has been broken down, and their gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before God of heaven. I said, O Lord God of heaven, and great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. He's going to pray for Jerusalem. He's going to pray for Jerusalem. It's been destroyed. It happened in the year 70. The scripture says they wanted to have their temple, and so they gave up Jesus. But their temple was destroyed in the year 70. Give up Jesus and your life is destroyed. You know, maybe your life is like the gates of Jerusalem, all burnt up. And maybe your trouble and your shame is like the wall of Jerusalem, broken down. You're broken down. I'm telling you, God wants to heal you today. God has a message for you today, that you be healed in the name of Jesus, that you be comforted in the name of Jesus. Maybe you are like the walls of Jerusalem, broken down. You feel broken down. But Jesus says this to you, I have come to comfort you today. I have come to let you know that I love you. I have come, I have come, I have come to let you know that I love you. Let your ears be attentive and your eyes open wide and hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for your servants. The people of Israel confessed the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both I and my family have sinned. In other words, he's saying, you know what? Our sin has broken down the walls of Jerusalem. Our sin has put fire at the gates of Jerusalem. Our sin, we have offended you deeply, failing to keep your commandments, your statutes, your ordinances that you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. And that's exactly what he did. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are under the farthest skies, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place at which I have chosen to establish my name. They are your servants and your people, Lord, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your great strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of the servants who delight in revealing your name. Give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. At the time I was cupbearer to the king. What's a cupbearer? The wine was given to Nehemiah, and if it was poisoned, he would die. If it was not poisoned, they'd give it to the king. He's asking the Lord to send him to Jerusalem. He's asking the Lord to look with pity on Jerusalem. He's asking the Lord that he would favor Jerusalem. I'm telling you, he is the cupbearer. Nehemiah sent to Judah. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was served him, I carried the wine and gave it to the king. That was his job. Now I had never been sad in the presence of the king before. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This can only be sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of our ancestors' graves, lies waste and its gates have been destroyed by fire? That's why I'm sad." Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" This is a pagan king who has felt sorry for Nehemiah because he's sad. I wonder how many of us, when someone looks sad, we say, "Can I help you? Can I help you?" Or do we just, you know, I've said to people, when they said, "Are you having a good day?" I would say, "No," they just would walk away. I'm going to tell the truth. I said, "No." I remember going to a certain person, and it was a priest, and I was having a hard day, and I was getting my insurance. So I said to him, "I'm having a hard time." He says, "Don't bother me. I've got things to do." We need to care for each other. We need to care for each other. If we don't care for each other, who do we care for? We need to love each other. If we don't love each other, who are we going to love? You know, this is sad. The pagan Artaxerxes realized that Nehemiah was sad. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask you to send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, so that I may rebuild it." He's asking a pagan king that he would go into the city of his ancestors and rebuild the city. What do you think the pagan king is going to say? The king said to me, "Build it." The king said to me, the queen also was sitting beside him, "How long will you have to be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a date. Then I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of provinces beyond the river, that they may grant me passage until I arrive in Judah. In other words, I need a letter from you, a letter that I am sent to Jerusalem to build the walls up again. But not only that, I arrived in Judah and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, directed him to give me timber to make beams for the gates of the temple, for the temple fortress, for the wall of the city and of the house I shall occupy. I tell you, sometimes pagans have more caring than Christians, and that's sad. That's sad. We are supposed to be filled with love. We are supposed to be filled with kindness. Today at Planned Parenthood, they're going to be killing children. And I don't think there are very many people out there. But they're going to be killing children today. And I wonder how many of us even think of that. Today, in the world, there are many people who will be persecuted for Jesus Christ and even die today for the sake of Jesus. Oh yes, that's going to happen today. I wonder how many of us pray for those people that are persecuted. I tell you, it is so important that God work in our lives, that we be kind and loving and patient and not bearing wounds against people, forgiving people. We need to forgive people. If we don't forgive people, they will haunt us till our grave, and we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you, who do you need to forgive today? You say, they're not worthy of forgiveness. And I say, you're right. But neither was I worthy of forgiveness when Jesus forgave me my sins. Oh, yes. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus Christ washed my sins away. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus doesn't count our sins against us once we have given our life to him. Jesus has plans for us. I tell you, Artaxerxes was a pagan, and yet he cared about his cupbearer. He cared because he saw him depressed, and the cupbearer had been praying to the Lord, oh Lord, forgive me, forgive my family, we have sinned against you. And what happened? Please, Lord, send me to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem. Let me tell you today that you are loved by the living God, that he has plans for you, that he wants you to know that even if your walls in your heart are all broken down, I'm telling you, he says, I want to fix you today. I want to love you today. I want to carry you today. I want to bless you today. You say, how do you know these things? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us while we were far from God. Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on the United States that kills children from the womb and even after the womb and kills them till the last moment. Have mercy on us all, O God, because if we get what we deserve, we will be getting the wrath of God. Lord, we have sinned against you. Show us your kindness in the midst of our sin so that we will be filled with grace and mercy towards each other. I ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the Lord. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Is your life broken like the walls of Jerusalem? Then turn to Jesus today. Turn to the Lord, and he will help you. He will help you. He will help you. You need to ask for help. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.